Welcome to the Strong Men, Strong Marriages podcast. Here we are on a mission to get strong, get attractive, and get the marriage of our dreams. I'm your host, Mike Frazier. Let's do this.
All right, men, welcome to today's episode of Strong Men, Strong Marriages, how to stop unproductive conflict in your marriage. So if you find yourself, having the same fights over and over, or maybe there's just like stuff that you're just not saying to your wife that you should be saying, but you're not, it's a conflict that's there that you just don't talk about. Maybe that's with like money, sex, in-laws, parenting, religion, housework, time. Those are kind of the common areas people have conflict. So today we're going to talk about why that happens, how you can step out of it, and not never have conflict, but make your conflict productive. So my name is Mike Frazier, MD. I'm a psychiatrist and marriage coach, and I help high-achieving Christian men have more intimate marriages. So some wins from guys in my program, my Strong Men, Strong Marriages program, guys are having that improved emotional and sexual connection with their wives. That's what most guys want when they come in, and they are getting it. And it's exciting to watch and see and have them experience that. And really set that example for their kids. A lot of guys, if you've got kids, you want to be able to say like, hey, I'd love for my kids to have a marriage like mine. And I couldn't have said that in the past for sure, but now I can totally say that and it feels great. And guys in the program too. So yeah, you can do it. So guys are also having increased connection with God. One gentleman that just, has been with us for a while now, he said, this is the closest to God that he's ever been. And man, I love seeing that. I love seeing the strength in him. God's been kind of putting people in his path now that he can help. Super cool to see. I love seeing that. So not that it was just our program or whatever that did that, but just seeing God work and having the program be part of God's work is really cool. Guys are listening better and their wives are feeling more heard. That one's huge. A lot of us have that struggle, especially as high achieving guys. Sometimes we don't listen or value what our wives are saying very well. So guys are getting better at that. Guys are finding peace in difficult situations. Look, some guys come in and they're facing a separation or divorce. And yeah, sometimes it does go through to that. But even if that happens, like you need these skills, you need to be able to manage your thoughts, emotions well. You need to have that good connection with God. Like you need it probably even more if it goes that direction. So, and you still want to set that a good example to your kids and you still want to have a good example to your wife. So either way, like these skills are going to help you get through that. So, for me this week, I've been really working on like improving the way I look at my son. And, I teach this, but I kind of gotten away from, doing that very much with my oldest son. So this week really shifted that. I feel like he can sense it, that I just look at him differently. I love him. I value him. Sure. Like he does stuff that's annoying, but that's the overriding thing I feel for him is love and positivity. And he can sense it, right? And our relationship is way better. And that's improving my relationship with my wife too, because, if I have not a good relationship with my kids, that does impact my relationship with my wife. So good wins there. All right, guys. So a lot of times, when I first started doing marriage work, the first person I really learned about was Sue Johnson, and she's big on attachment theory, and I really liked it. And then it has some limitations, especially in the sense, I think where we get in trouble with attachment theory is we feel like we can't say anything to our spouse until they're quote unquote a safe place. But if we won't do that, then we can't grow, right? We're stuck. We just get say like, oh, well, I can't talk to you because you're not a safe place. And you're just waiting for them to be a safe place. So I think that's where you get in trouble and you need more of like the David Schnarch, the differentiation ideology, that you're not in charge of her emotions and that you need to share where you are. You need to be known. That's what intimacy is. And then as I've done this work more, that also has its limitations because we do need connection. We do need people that care about us and love us, right? So I think both of them are true, and it's just kind of we need both. So today we're talking about attachment theory. And look, she's done quite a bit of studies, Sue Johnson, that show, hey, when we do feel separation from our wife, our bodies do undergo stress. The chemistry in our bodies changes, our heart rate increases. It's similar to how young children feel stress when they're separated from their mother. We feel a similar feeling when we feel distant from our wives, our cortisol level goes up, all of that. So that does happen, so there's something about us that does want connection with others. Like There's a book called Built for Love that I just read that talks about that too. Like there's things that happen in our brain and body when we don't have connection with others that are not good. And having that connection does do that. Harvard study of adult development proves that too. Hey, if you want to live a long time and be happy, the way to do that, have good relationships. That's it. Like that's what they proved studying people over like 80 years. So now, depending on how our particular brain is wired for stress, we can respond in predictable ways when we feel that distance from our wife. So one of my favorite quotes from Sue Johnson is this one. She says, underneath all the distress in marriage, partners are asking each other, can I count on you? Are you there for me? Will you respond to me when I need, when I call? Do I matter to you? Am I valued and accepted by you? Do you need me and rely on me? Man, when I read those, there's just something like, there's like this deep longing. You know, it's tender. It's kind of scary to ask those questions. Especially if you think, man, maybe the answer is no from my wife. You know, that's hard. It's hard to feel alone like that. And part of the program, right, and what we do is we try to build this with somebody, right? If your wife isn't able to provide that or willing to provide that, someone to be there to count on, to rely on, to respond to you that says she matters, you know, we need to find that somewhere. And ideally we do find it with our wife. And if your wife is going to say no to all of that, yeah, like that's tough. And then you have to decide, okay, am I willing to be in a marriage like that where my wife isn't going to respond to anything? Maybe you do choose that. Some guys that I work with, they do choose that. Or maybe you're going to choose, you know what? Yeah. If it's always going to be no, maybe it makes sense to find someone where it is going to be a yes on these things. But this is where the differentiation piece comes in. First, you do need to become a better choice for her, right? You can't just expect, you know, your wife to be attracted and want that. Or if you're not, you know, to some extent have these strengths and skills, right? You're going to be more attractive. You're going to be able to get through things better if you have these strengths and skills. So let's do both, right? Let's not exclude one. Let's do both of them. But yeah, so partners are asking this, you know, and we are asking this of our wife, you know, can I count on you? Are you there for me? Will you respond to me when I need you? Do I matter? Am I valued and accepted? Do you need me? Do you rely on me? Okay. So when we're not sure about the answers to those, I'm not sure if my wife's there for me. I'm not sure if she really cares. I'm not sure if I matter. We typically will go into fight or flight mode. So a fight person, if you're geared more that way, tends to pursue resolution to the conflict. They want to talk about it. They want to get it figured out. Okay. Like if your wife seems upset about something, you want to talk about it until it's just resolved. Okay. So an example, the other night, we went and played soccer, and man, like this is something I've been working so hard on, but you know, I got mad during it. I kind of got, yeah, like kind of physical, even with my wife and my oldest son, right? And those are like the two people that if I was going to get mad at anybody, like not them, right? And I was able to share, you know, I kind of felt this, right? That they weren't there for me. And that's kind of what activated that for me. But I didn't want them to get out of the car until we had resolved it, right? Because I feel that discomfort and I just want to get it resolved, okay? A flight person, on the other hand, tends to avoid conflict. They don't really want to have that conversation. They feel uncomfortable with having that, right? So they'll kind of walk away and not want to be involved. So a story I've told before. So I'm geared more towards fight. My wife's geared more toward flight when it comes to between us anyway. I remember one time, I think it was probably about sex. I was wanting it more and wanted to talk to her about it. And she was like, I don't want to talk about it right now. And she's like walking away from me. And I literally just like followed her around the house, just like chased her around the house, trying to tell her, hey, like, I need to talk about this. Still talking to her, even though she didn't want to. So this is what can happen when one of you's fight and one of you's flight. A lot of times, the guys I work with, it seems like pretty even split. Some guys will be more fight. Some guys will be more flight. The guys that don't really want to talk about stuff, you know, their wife approach them, they kind of just say, I'd rather not talk about that. For me, you know, from the Sue Johnson stuff, it's kind of like, I have that fight because for one, I just want it resolved, but also it's kind of like, I don't want you to leave me. Like, I don't want you to be away from me. Right. And for her, it's like, hey, you know, the flight is like, hey, don't attack me. Don't disapprove of me. That's really hard for me. So like for me, I'd rather have my wife tell me, okay, like, here's what I don't like. So I feel like I can fix it. You know, that to me, having some conflict is better than just like no connection. But for her, it's like, man, I really don't want to hear these negative things. That's hard. And this is the most common pattern that you typically, a fight person will pair up with a flight person. And that's what happens. So what often happens if a wife's more geared toward fight, she'll kind of nag, right? She'll be like, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And the guy's like, man, just leave me alone. I don't like hearing this disapproval, but it's a unproductive and kind of immature way to try to get some connection. Like, she's kind of geared toward fight. She's just trying to get some kind of connection. It's not a great way to do it. But if you can kind of see it in that way, that she's feeling disconnected, and a lot of times that nagging is her way of trying to connect and kind of answer those questions, like, are you there for me? If you can see it that way, it's helpful. You know, if she's like, hey, you didn't take the trash out again, why don't you ever do that? If you dig down a little bit, it's kind of like, you're never there for me. You don't follow through. I can't trust you. You know, you're not there for me when I need and when I call. So if you can kind of see it that way, like, oh, she just wants to know that I'm there for her. That can help. You're like, okay, yeah, I do want to be there for you. I do want to respond when you need, when you call. So I get that and I'll do that. Right. And that can kind of help the nagging be better. And you know, you can just kind of give her some feedback around that too, that maybe there's a more productive way. Maybe instead of saying that, just saying, hey, like, when you do that, I don't feel like you're there for me, you know, kind of sharing that deeper, more tender thing going on versus the anger. Okay. And this is something that, guys, we can work on that a lot. if you're both geared towards fight versus fight, this is where this couples that get into screaming matches, it's more volatile. It's a lot of up and down. Again, a lot of times too, these kind of couples, they'll have these big fights and then just kind of leave, but nothing really gets resolved. Okay. And then there's flight versus flight. Like, if both of you are kind of geared towards walking away from a conflict, you know, you'll have this kind of limited interaction overall. It seems kind of peaceful, but it's really disconnected. There's not really a lot of intimacy. You don't really know each other that well. This is where you can feel a lot more like roommates, or yeah, it's okay, but you know, we're not really connected. There's no real intimacy. We don't fight, but there's no real spark either. So what do you do? So step one, we want to recognize the pattern. You know, which one's you? Give it a name is powerful. You want to stop it before it goes too far. You want to figure out what you're really thinking, feeling, and wanting, and then express what you're thinking, feeling, and wanting to your wife. Okay, so that's five steps. So step one, recognize and naming the pattern. So naming it really does give you power over it. You know, this is what we talked about in the program, recognize your negative, unproductive patterns. This particular pattern is like how you fight or have conflict with your wife. So you can use what we talked about today. Okay, yeah, we're getting back into fight versus flight, or we're getting into fight versus fight, or, you know, this is flight versus flight. Or even you can just name it for yourself. Hey, I'm getting into that fight mode right now. Sue Johnson, she names find the bad guy, the fight versus fight. We're like, no, you did this wrong. No, you did this wrong. Well, you did that, right? That's find the bad guy, fight versus fight. The protest polka, she calls the fight versus flight, where one's like, hey, you know, I want to talk about this. The other one's, no, I don't, right? And you're just kind of like, one's pursuing, one's running away. And then freeze and flee is the flight versus flight, right? Both of you just kind of don't want to talk about it, and then you just don't talk about anything. And stuff goes unresolved. If you're in a spot where you can kind of engage your wife in this too, like, you name it, something funny can be a good way. Okay, like, this is Voldemort, or like, this is he who should not be named, or this is like the beast, the cyclone. Like, name it something kind of funny can help you break out of it. Okay. Sue Johns talks a lot about this being like a dance that we have with our spouse, these patterns of unproductive conflict. And so, yeah, you change the steps of the dance. And now you invite your wife into a new dance when you do that. You know, you can't control her steps, but you can control yours. This is where that like differentiation idea comes in of you can't control her, you can control yourself. But yeah, when you start a new dance and you say, hey, I don't want to do this fight versus flight dance anymore, I'm going to do something different. It invites your wife to something new, right? And that's being a leader. You know, you want to lead in the dance, right? And you want to lead a good dance, not a bad dance, right? So the next thing you want to do, stop until you go too far. So when you're in that fight or flight mode, your rational brain is not working very well. Your prefrontal cortex, that area has less oxygen, less blood. So it's easy to say things you don't mean or that you don't remember. You're probably not going to be very productive. So, you know, last week we talked about those steps for emotion. So yeah, guys, just if you feel yourself getting into that mode, breathe, name, feel, and release that emotion. Okay. Find a way to do that. Now you do need to come back later and you want to let the other person know when you're going to come back later. So especially if you're more geared toward flight and your wife is more geared toward fight, she's going to need to know a time that you're going to come back. So you're like, hey, I'll check back in an hour, or hey, let's talk about this tomorrow, but then really do come back tomorrow and talk about it. And that's the way you guys can kind of both work with your, find kind of a middle ground for fight versus flight. So don't believe the hype that good couples should never go to bed angry. I really don't believe that at all. I think sometimes we just need sleep, so our rational brain comes back online and we can have a much better conversation the next day. So yeah, don't try to solve something until your brain and nervous system are ready to have a conversation where your thinking brain's online. Okay. So sometimes sleep is going to be part of that release of emotion, right? You just need to recover. So the next step is you got to figure out what you're actually thinking, feeling, and wanting and share that, right? So breathe, name, feel, release. So, and then write out what got you to that point. Okay. What was I thinking? What was I feeling? So, you know, using that example the other night. So I was getting mad, you know, my son stole the ball from me and I just like chased him and was like really intense, and he walked out, which was smart. Like that was smart of him to do. And then I walked out and I was like pacing and like so mad, but then I just kind of thought to myself, okay, like what's going on? What story am I telling myself here that's making me so angry? And it was that my interpretation was that they were trying to embarrass me, which they weren't. But, you know, I shared that with them and they're like, no, like, of course we're not. We're just trying to play. We're just trying to have fun. And that just calmed me down. Right. Because I think if we come back to these Sue Johnson things, it's like, you know, are you there for me? Do you care about me? Do I matter to you? You know, can I count on you? You know, it's kind of like, these are the people I'm supposed to be counting on to support me. And they're trying to embarrass me. Like that's my interpretation. It was an incorrect interpretation, but that's what got me feeling so upset, right? Feeling kind of like abandoned. So when I was able to share that with them in the car later, then they're like, no, it's not there. Like, we are there for you. And that helped me calm down. And it was great, right? Turned into, this is how you turn conflict into more connection, right? So I was able to follow these steps more or less, right? I went out, I breathed, name, felt, released, was able to have this conversation later, explain to them what I was thinking and feeling, clear things up, and turned into more connection. It was great. So, and then you share that. And then if you have a request, right, share that with your wife. You know, what is it that I'd like you to do differently? And they even asked me, kind of, well, what do we need to do? I was like, I don't think anything really, just remind me that, you know, you're not trying to embarrass me. We're just trying to have fun. And then I was able to see that as just kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like teasing each other. Like when you're playing a game, yeah, you like go through somebody's legs in soccer or something. It could just be kind of like a fun little joke you guys play on each other. Right. And so, yeah, I think for me, just being able to see it that way, see it as a teasing kind of fun thing, you know, works for me. As long as I know beneath that is I've got people in my corner that love me and care about me, which I do. And I'm grateful for that. So that's an example for you there. So what skills do you need to actually do this? So you need self-worth, self-confidence, self-esteem. Why? Because to be able to actually share what's going on with you, it does take some self-confidence. This is where that differentiation piece comes in. Like, I needed to share that even if my wife didn't respond well. Now she did, which was great. But even if she didn't, I needed to share it so I could be known in my marriage, right? That invites growth in the marriage. So you need that. You need mental and emotional strength. Okay. I need to be able to manage my emotions, which, you know, I did better than I had in the past. I wish I could have kind of identified it earlier, but, you know, I didn't, and learn for next time, right? Do the mental rehearsals, prep for that. Remind myself. And the good thing was I found the key piece, which is like, just remind myself, hey, like my family's on my team, which I definitely believe that. And I'm grateful for that. It took mental and emotional strength to manage my emotions, come back later, have the mental strength to express things, right? Then communication skills and courage to express myself and express yourself about what's going on. You need to know how to make requests well, which does take some practice and skill. You need boundaries, which is what you're going to do if those requests are not granted. Okay, what you're going to do or not do is what a boundary is. Also takes all those other things, self-worth, self-esteem, self-confidence, mental, emotional, communication skill to set a boundary and keep it. Okay, so there's quite a bit to learn, quite a bit of skill to this. So we're going to teach you it. We're going to teach you exactly how to do it, have you practice it with coaching so you know exactly what to do in Strong Men, Strong Marriages. So come join us. Come visit strongmen.io or visit the link in the show notes. Click work with me. You'll fill out an application. We'll get back to you with your best next steps. So looking forward to having you join us in the program. You can also reach out, you know, join our email list. There's a free training on that strongmen.io site. And you can get that free training. You can connect with me on LinkedIn or via email. And want to hear from you and how I can help. So, and if you're ready to join the program, let's do it. Strongmen.io or visit the link in the show notes. All right, men, stay strong. We will see you next episode.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes and share the episode with a friend so we can help create stronger men and stronger marriages across the world. And if you're ready to take your strength training and your marriage to the next level, visit strongmenstrongmarriages.com to learn how. I'll see you there.